If I were to ask you what your philosophy of life or your creed, what would that be?
Have a good time all the time.
A podcast has changed my life.
Shine, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be back.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny!
You know what it is similar to? It's similar to being in no scripture, I feel like.
Wait, what's no scripture?
Oh, man, maybe this is a New South Wales specific thing. But in a public school, at least at my school, after school, there was scripture. So some kids... But then in primary school, I feel like there was scripture during school and like people, based on their religions, went to different classes to be taught religion. And then the kids that just didn't have a religion were just left in like a room with no one of any religious faith, just like a bad teacher just managed you.
That was the real religion though. You know that shit.
Community.
That's
the best
stuff.
Oh, that's beautiful. Mucking around is my religion.
Whatever you want it to be, religion.
What do we have in Canberra? We had Healthy Harold and Kenny Koala.
He was like a god in my eyes, actually.
Did you have Healthy Harold?
We had Healthy Harold, but I've never heard of this. Who's koala?
Kenny Koala.
Kenny Koala is a police koala. And oh the ACT police.
I wonder how he's doing now. Is he wearing a body cam at the moment?
He's hating it. He's in hiding.
ACT police bring in this koala, Constable Kenny, to talk to you about crossing the road and stranger danger.
Right.
Was he dodging? Because I remember once I saw the Healthy Harold guy, having a ciggy, like, because they would set up at my school for like 2 weeks or a week or whatever, however long they were doing
and
it.
And then the van's there.
The van's there. And he was always punching darts, like, behind the. And it became this whole kind of myth that this guy
was
drug
addict.
It sounded like a made up thing.
Because to you, it's linked. It's like cigarettes and drugs. So you're like, well, he's doing heroin.
Well,
like, he's smoking.
Well, to me, it's like cigarette thing. Was worse than drugs at that point.
They went on more about that because they were like, the chances of heroin are like lower than,
so
cigarettes.
So if he's smoking a cigarette, he's probably doing meth. Like,
I had one at school that, it was there for like a week or something. And I think other kids had had their time with the Harold. But then I think someone at night broke in and stole the puppet of Harold. But then they continued doing the lessons without the puppet. So it was just, the bloke.
Just healthy.
Just a guy being like, there's no really.
You're just in a van with a bloke.
Exactly. Being like, trust me, okay? And he's a bit pissed off because he's been the victim of theft.
Did Kenny the koala have a van or some sort?
No, he was a puppet. So he just came in and sat on a police officer's
What's your puppet? I remember him being life-sized.
I think you were just small, so he was. He was
or
human
maybe
size.
In my nightmares he was life-size.
Was he dressed like a cop? Like, did he have the hat?
Yeah, sure, little... the whole kit.
He was dressed like a cop. Occasionally wore sunglasses, optional sunglasses.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Was he strapped? Did he have a gun? I can't remember.
I don't think Kenny. I don't think he brought
koala
his gun.
Koala with a gun. Being like, look left, look right, and look left again.
He had a fake taser and pepper spray as well.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
I actually was in a bit of a potential defamation row with the Happy Healthy Harold organisation.
What?
Which is in early 20s, I started an onion rip-off website because I liked comedy and I liked the idea of doing satirical comedy articles.
Sure.
And I just started one. And it wasn't very good, but a few of them like got shared. And one of the ones that got shared the most was, I think the headline was something along the lines of Happy Healthy Harold overdoses on heroin and benzodiazepine. And obviously that was a bit, nostalgic for people and like got shared. But then I got two emails, which were very scary to me at the time. One was from the woman who was in the photo of the, so I just got like some random photo of like Happy Healthy Harold with like a woman who works with them and like is one of the puppeteers, being like, this is now, if you Google me, the first image that comes up on Google. I work in children's health. Like, it would be great if you could take that down. I was like, oh, so sorry. I'm just like some 21-year-old who's trying to have some fun. So I took that down. But then I got an email from the head of the Happy Healthy Harold charity in Australia being like, please, now when you Google Happy Healthy Harold, the third result is he's overdosed on heroin.
Oh my God.
Damn.
Please, can you take that down? And I think my solution was...
Couldn't they just pay someone in SEO? To like,
that's where you say, hey, I'm actually an SEO.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you'd like to rank a little higher,
You get so many of those emails, but it's like, whatever. What they should do is just sabotage your business.
They should. They should take your name, trash talk it all over Google, and then sell you some SEO.
Oh, that's actually a genius business model.
I think it only works with, because I think it would be defamatory if Happy Healthy Harold was a bloke, because it's like you're not allowed to just say someone died of heroin when they didn't. But I think you're allowed to defame a puppet. I don't think there's any rules against like implying that a
puppet is
that a giraffe is dead. But I did
ask my lawyer.
Well, I don't think he's going anymore.
Oh, you think he retired?
Well, I think
are you saying he's dead?
Who are the mascots for the children these days? Are they in safe, happy, healthy
there'd be
hands?
Some TikTokers or something, surely.
Right. Yeah.
They just play a TikTok to the kids and like that'll teach you everything you need to know.
Just other teens? I don't know.
Lil Nas. I've seen Lil Nas go to primary school.
Oh my God, that video is...
It's adorable.
Gorgeous.
It's adorable.
Like, goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm. Lil Nas is the new Happy Healthy Harold.
Did you have people come to your school and do... Because I feel like, yeah, there was... We didn't have the koala, but there was like the giraffe. Huge. Every year, I would say. And then, but there would be like actors would come and like do little plays about like how bullying is bad.
We had like two medieval knights come and joust. They were in full armor and they did a jousting presentation.
Like,
yeah, but this is pre-cosplay being a thing because it was pre the internet being particularly popular.
But it was post-jousting?
But post-jousting. Yeah. So, you know, that 500-year window.
I mean, it had to be, yeah.
Post-jousting, pre-Reddit, you know.
Yeah. It's a big period.
Yeah. No, they came in full armor and then, like, obviously they couldn't really bring horses or anything.
No.
So they just kind of walked slowly at each
what
other.
What was the point of
exactly.
this?
It was a medieval recreation. It was meant to be some kind of historical reenactment. But I don't remember much about it other than two knights in armor jousting.
So they slowly, like, ran at each other.
They kind of ran at each other with a big pole.
I don't like it. I feel like the only lesson you're getting out of this is how to joust, which is quite frankly an outdated profession.
The first thing I do is run into the playground, grab a big stick, and joust my friends.
Yeah. Nine eyes have been poked out today. We're unsure exactly what the cause was, but we're pretty sure it was the morning tea lesson on how to joust, which, looking back, unsure why we paid them $1,000 each to come and demonstrate that.
The teachers took away and the guys are just like, if you don't have a jousting stick, grab any stick you can find in the playground, sharpen it up, you'll have a lot of fun.
You are your own hero.
They should have got, like, fake horses and at least to make it more theatrical.
Mm. I suppose. I mean, I reckon just don't do it at all would have been my... I feel like the other reason really why they did it is because that's a bit of a community, is like people that dress up as medieval people. Mm. I feel like it's like early recruitment, kind of similar to religion. They're trying to get you early.
Yeah, trying to sign you up.
Into think it's cool to go and joust that's on true. A weekend.
Are you an anti-jouster?
I think it's a bit lame to to do that in 2020 on a weekend. Depending how much investment you have in it in your life, I feel like to dedicate too much time to it.
There's a lot of people doing it. I used to live in a park in Melbourne.
Used to live in a park.
No, near a park.
Yeah.
And they did it on Thursday nights. It was like touch footy or something.
Mm.
And it was huge. They just did like war reenactments like near where Carlton trained. Like it's crazy.
So it wasn't just a matter of like all dressing up and... Because in my mind they're dressing up and they're like, sweet. And then they chat. But
there's like games and stuff. They're like, charge. And
yeah, there's the games and then there's the reenactments where they actually like memorize a battle sequence and then act it out.
So it's kind of history there.
Yeah. And there's like famous battles that they choose, you know, and then relive.
You really know a lot about jousting.
With the
the president.
It's from primary school. I've learned the internet.
I actually had an education on jousting. Now you have an ego about it. You're like, maybe someone else didn't.
We had jump rope for heart. We had the the skipping routines. You know? You know
no. Yeah, no. Yeah. Skipping was huge in Canberra. I don't know why. We were all
skipping and jousting.
And you could buy a skipping rope at the canteen for $10. And after the demonstration, they'd just sell hundreds of skipping ropes. And like everyone in the playground had one for about 3 weeks.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, and the money went to the Heart Foundation.
See, this is another
good cause.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking too much like it's propaganda, but I feel like there were... When you were a child, there were like fads, obviously. Mm. A few, I remember, yo-yos. Do we agree on this?
No.
No?
They were big in my life, yeah.
What about Yo-Ho Diablo?
Yo-Ho Diablo, yeah. Is that what they
were? No,
did you have Yo-Ho Diablos?
Sam knows what's
that.
They were huge at my school.
That sounds like Yo-Yo 2.0. You missed me. Yo-Ho.
They were yo-yos, but better. They were folk festival yo-yos.
Yeah.
You know what I meant. Not yeah.
Oh, yo-ho. And then...
No, what are yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah is a band. That's absolutely.
Exactly. they're too cool.
Yoho Diablos, you're right. They are like they have a real Woodford vibe.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yes.
People
okay.
in, like vests are like
two drumsticks with a string tying them together.
With a thing on
and
it.
The thing that rolls oh, and
yeah,
throw it
familiar
up.
With that.
And yeah. then you
never
yeah.
knew what it was called.
You whip it.
You can do until some now.
Yeah. Okay. I remember we had like pro Yoho Diablo people come to our schools. Even like pro yo-yoers at times to do.
See, this is the thing. I feel like they're trying. It's like propaganda if they get these people into the schools to demonstrate and then to hope it becomes a fad within the schools because they're fucking selling skipping ropes afterwards. They're like, yeah, forget about these Tarzos and Pokemon like, cards and stuff. We need the skipping ropes to blow up.
Did your school have a shop though? Like, we didn't have a shop.
Just the canteen.
Just the canteen. Yeah, oh, the canteen. Oh. You could buy a skipping rope with your lunch order.
Didn't you? And you carry the washing basket down to the canteen at lunchtime and then they put the orders in and you carry the washing basket back?
You got me at the end there, but at the beginning of it, you took the washing basket.
They're doing washing in your canteen?
Skipping, washing, and chicken drummies. Those are our three specialties here at the canteen.
Oh, no, yeah, my canteen didn't do any of that.
I remember, though, yeah, no, being the messenger. I mean, someone would be entrusted, and I feel like you had to earn that privilege. Mm. Or
my
maybe
job.
I just, once yeah.
You're still the messenger, Tom.
Now.
He still goes back.
Yeah.
I mean, I try and get back into the schools. They've actually introduced a policy where I'm not allowed to do the messenger jobs anymore. But, I remember taking pride in being given that role.
One time Declan Hester ate Carla Borg's chicken drummy. And they had to do like a full class, like who ate the chicken drummy.
Oh my God.
Because the canteen said that, no, we sent two chicken drummies and there was only one.
That is sick.
It's a paper trail. They've got the receipt.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's why they write it on the. Yeah,
did
yeah.
someone own up to it?
I think Declan owned up that he ate the chicken drummy
it'd
eventually.
Have to.
I reckon you line everyone up and we
so
have to do a breath smell.
It's like, yeah, I couldn't control myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember in high school, my friend, might have been my friend Baron, he copied the toilet pass that you could have when you were outside of class during periods or whatever.
Mm.
And so, like, we printed a bus. So we all had these toilet passes so we could just, like, hang out outside of class.
So he printed them and gave them to other people. That's very kind.
Yeah,
I reckon he should have just kept it for himself. The jig was going to be up very quick.
Yeah, but I think the point, like...
He wanted social capital.
Yeah, or he just wanted company because it's like you could be the last
the
man. You could be the last person alive, but if there's no one there... Like, it's not that good. If you're the only person roaming the school
that's
when
true.
Everyone else is in class.
Yeah, he's like, I've done it. Yeah. I've gained the system.
The
not
point,
learning a thing.
The point is not being in class, though, right?
Well, I mean, maybe if you don't want to education.
Wow.
My religion, mucking around. That's what I say.
How are you guys enjoying being on the radio?
I think so. I don't know yet. I thought this was going to be the worst year of my life, honestly. It was...
At what point did you think that?
Yeah.
At the beginning
at the start of
the year.
Year.
When we accepted the job. I don't know about you, Sally, but I was like, okay, well, yeah, we're gonna hate our lives.
But didn't you have a conversation before you said yes, being like, this could be the worst year of our life.
Yeah.
Should we do it?
Literally, yeah. Our reason for accepting the job, I think, was, well, we'll feel worse if we say no.
Totally.
Oh.
Because the what if is worse than any other thing in the world. The idea that there was a fork in the road and you took the little prong that was a little bit bendy.
A happy life is one where you minimize potential regrets.
Yeah. Is that true?
I don't know.
That's
a
thing that I've just coined. It's one of my famous sayings that I think applies to this situation.
It might be a good theory though, because we all
totally.
Do chase happiness and it very rarely comes. So maybe if you just chase not being unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're there.
What were you particularly intimidated by the like early mornings?
Well, I think it's just any new presenters in that role in the past have quite a hard time adapting to it.
As in
like the audience is not very forgiving sometimes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Right. And I think that's the same. It's not just Triple J. It's like any change on any kind of media platform is, you know, people like their routine. They like the same voices. After a little while, they get used to them. And then when they get taken away, they don't appreciate it. So it's in the past, like it has been hard for people. So I was worried.
Yeah, I think a combination of like the audience reaction, especially as like the first two women to take that role on top of the inevitable backlash that you get as a new team. And then also the lack of sleep, lack of free time, like choosing between that and having lots of time to do music.
Yeah.
And just being like, well, do we really want to do this? But I think what you're getting at, Erica, is it hasn't been the worst year of our life.
I assume the conclusion is.
No,
We're hating it and miserable. We want out.
No, it's actually been pretty fun. Like, I'm glad that we get to do it, and I'm happy that we chose this.
Yeah, and in a weird way, like, everyone's had a shit 2020, so ours has been comparatively good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's like you just look at the world and you're like, you know what, we're fine.
Totally.
You guys, I think, would have had a weird kind of perspective on 2020 because everyone's kind of had to live through it, but I guess every day if you're not kind of working or talking to people, you're kind of sheltered from it, whereas you guys every day are looking at the news, are seeing, and you're just like, well.
But and like a, you got the text line. How do you have a sense of like, yeah, Australia's reaction to corona better than most people? Probably.
Yeah, we always talk about the mood of the text line, and it's a real thing. I don't know how it works, but some days you just walk in, you're like, oh, the mood is funky in here. Like, totally. The text line is not feeling good.
Yeah.
And other days they just want to chat. Like, I don't know what regulates it.
And I think the thing with corona is you could really see across the weeks, like, the audience mood change. And the first few weeks of it, everyone's like, it's just a flu. And then quickly went to, like, a crowd of ducklings that were, like, huddling around you for reassurance and advice, being like, please just tell me something good.
And then it got to the point where whatever you said, someone would have, like, an opinion that was proving you wrong on it.
Totally. Oh, yeah. There was definitely, if you graphed it, I feel like maybe the same graph that was, like, the curve that we were meant to flatten was, like, the confidence of people up. They'd read a few blogs.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Now I get it.
And everyone's like, actually, it's the molecule from SARS. What do you need to know about the antibodies? And you're like, oh, come on. Like, just, yeah, it really went very quickly from people being entitled to an opinion, being scared and having no opinion, and very quickly going back to having lots of opinions.
Totally. That's how I knew it was serious, is when some of my mates started using scientific terms. And I'm like, I've never heard a scientific word out of your mouth, mate. And now you're saying things like social distancing.
Yeah, like isolation, I thought was a big word for the populace to grapple with.
Isolation.
Isolation. It's like, whoever has said isolation before this? We changed it to ISO. Like, that's how much we couldn't cope with it.
Are you implying no one isolated ever before COVID?
No,
happened?
But if you did, you'd be like, I'm just lonely. I'm just
chilling.
I'm chilling.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So isolating was chilling.
Was chilling.
So
why didn't
the government call, 2020 chilling?
Chill. We're chilling.
Mandatory chill.
The top of the year was not chill at all.
No.
Maybe this is the chill bit now after how hectic it was at the start. But now it's not chill at all.
No, it's not chill at all. But it's been actually... Yeah.
My diagnosis is the current climate politically and 2020, like medically,
not chill.
Not chill at all. It's been full on. But in a way, I also think it's made the audience forget that we're new because, like,
totally.
The whole world's changed very quickly. Mm. And so... Like,
each week is like a month.
Remembering what last year was like feels a long way away. Mm. So I think we actually have got through a lot of that, like, audience reaction very quickly. And also, even generally, when we started, they knew us. We'd been on the show on and off for a long time.
Mm.
We weren't brand new voices. It wasn't like when Matt started, it was a flip of like one individual presenter leaving and one staying.
Mm. Yeah, that's different.
Which again, I think would have been hard for the audience to get their head around. But for us, they've been pretty good. Like, the audience has been pretty accepting. They've been pretty friendly.
I think I remember seeing you guys maybe 2 months in, and I was like, how's it going? And you were so chill. You're like, yeah, whatever. Like, it's fine. And I was like, no, that's a fair question to ask. Because I remember Matt, when he took over, he was so stressed out
mess.
About it. Yeah.
I'm going to say it.
He was a mess.
It's a goddamn mess. Well, so you're saying that you kind of you benefited from the coronavirus, which begs the question, are you responsible?
Words enough. Yeah.
I wouldn't say we benefited. It's still being, like, especially because so much of the show is, like, a news show. We have no journalism training, and suddenly, like, I remember the ABC was putting together a crisis plan, and it had tiers, different tiers of, like, lockdown. We got to tier one out of three, I think, at the ABC, and worst case scenario, there was going to be, like, military on the streets. No one could leave their house. Everything was closed. And if it got to that, they, like, picked the shows that they kind of were going to stay on air, and it was something just, like, ABC News, close RN, close Classic, close Jazz, close everything, keep Triple J Breakfast, keep Drive, keep Hack.
Like, no.
And we were just like...
They're like teaching you about AK-47s.
You get a gun.
Like 2 months in, you're like, oh, I don't want a gun. Can I not have a gun, please?
So it's been intense. We're just like, we don't know anything about...
Yeah, we were being geared up.
Journalism.
Like, we were being told, you're the frontline workers here. No, we are not the frontline workers.
You're the key news source for the nation in the national crisis.
The news stuff must be so hard because it's like you kind of just have to, like, I guess, riff off the headlines or whatever and you move on to it.
Mm.
And it's just like people would be so unforgiving, and especially considering you're just like, you guys are musicians.
Yeah. I mean, what was an example the other day? We were riffing off something.
Oh, people just get antsy about anything. But yeah, there was something.
We were recently riffing about how Scott Morrison said that thing about a woman giving birth on the side of the highway. Yeah. He got quizzed.
Mental.
He got quizzed about it. Like,
was he joking or was he being
rude? So what happened? One senator got up and was like, "Prime Minister, we've had reports on this stretch of road. There's no maternity ward in town. So women are having to drive to Canberra and they're giving birth by the side of the road. Do you agree this is unacceptable?" And ScoMo got up and was like, "This is why we've committed $150 million to upgrade that highway."
Like, it was a question about the medical resources available in this, like, original place. And, like, that was just an example of why it was.
New highways have, like, birthing facilities built into those rest stops.
Yeah, we don't know what the upgrade entails.
Yeah, that's what I
That's a really good point. Sam.
Exactly.
Like, the problem with his comment was a lack of
kind of just at the 7-Eleven,
at the giant Merino in Goulburn. It's like a drive through birthing.
You
center.
Pop in, have the birdie, but the child, get birdie. The birdie, and then move on to Sydney.
You took the birds and the bees too literally. It's like, yeah, there's like, a bird and there's a bee. And that's, a bird. That's the beautiful way life is. So what was your comment on that?
Well, we just talked about that. We were like, I mean, clearly he was not joking and clearly it's funny that he's responded like that.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember what we said, but we weren't making fun of the women or anything. Like, obviously you should never have to give birth by the side of the road. Like,
obviously.
That goes without saying.
Yeah, I think we just made a joke about it and we were just like, you know, a nice highway might be a nice view, you know, whatever. Pretty much.
When you're giving birth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And then for some reason
you want a nice view?
People were annoyed about it.
Beautiful fields.
I don't know why people were so mad about it.
I've spoken to some women giving birth. They're often, their main point is about the view that they have.
I had a better view.
I feel like historically it used to be a real thing about like people giving birth in a car. It was like romanticized. Like it was talked, it was spoken by a lot, like people couldn't get to a hospital in time, where now it never happens.
I know, we were talking longingly like this about what it would be like to give birth by the side of the road and people didn't like it. That's so all true. People were like, you know, women should have hospitals to give birth in. We're like
obviously.
It's like in a dream world, yes, but I mean, some of them
absolutely. I feel like it's just halfway between two famous things, because it's like you got your home births, some people love those, hospital births, but like highway on the way.
It's a compromise.
I mean, yeah. We need more compromises in politics. That's why I need all women out there. Now I'm just doing what you were.
Now you're just doing it again. I was a home birth.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
So oh my was God. I, Sam.
You're kidding.
No, I was.
What? My parents had a party. Did your parents have a party? Yeah. There's like a, like that. Mum was giving birth in one room whilst like 30 people were partying in the rest
of
the house.
Oh my God. Were any of them medically trained?
There was a medical person there, I think, that they obviously came over to deliver. And then and then there's all these photos of like me in the party. Like
just holding court already?
Guys,
that's why as a storyteller.
A funny thing happened to me on the way out of my mum's vagina. Yeah,
exactly. You know my mum? You know my mum? This kid's a bit precocious. I don't like.
Do you think it's affected you negatively being home birthed, Erica?
Well, I was an accidental home birth. Unlike
oh my
yours,
God, like in
is...
the. Mine was very much planned. There was an invitation.
See, I just slid out on the couch and
what?
Yeah, apparently I shot. She says this a lot. I shot out of her vagina, and I started the way I carried on, and that was like a bull in a china shop.
Oh, is this like a famous mum story?
It's kind of. It's one she often tells.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like
it's her life. Like, it's a pretty big.
She hasn't just whipped up that description off the top of her head. She's been doing that for years.
But no, her point was that I like a football. She says you flew out like a football, and you had to be caught by my sister.
What
does
she mean flew out like a football though? Like a kicked football?
Like a kind of like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with a bit of.
Like it was moving.
That's so
moving.
Casual.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's the energy you're taking to the highway chat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm glad you had a party, Sam, but you know, my mum was bleeding out on the
couch. It'd be fun being the baby at the party. Because then if you hadn't heard of something, people would be like, was this guy born yesterday? And you'd be like, today, actually.
Today.
It's actually born today. So even less than you thought. Do you reckon that it helps with this stuff that you're musicians and that you kind of don't purport to, like, be news authorities?
Well, we're not news authorities and we're not comedy authorities. We're kind of just, like, musicians who like to talk about stuff. So it's probably helped with the case that we didn't come in being like, we're the new comedy show.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think if you don't raise people's expectations, then they're not going to be disappointed.
We gave people very low expectations.
Yeah, we're like, I don't know, we're musicians. We might talk about some shit.
And now we've made them.
That's actually the best, yeah, because you say comedians, they're like, everyone just kind of sits back and they're like, all right, we'll have a crack.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Make me laugh.
Yeah. Knock it early.
Yeah.
You've been on the show a lot, Sam, and you'll notice we never say comedian when we intro a comedian. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I always wonder
that. You just
that.
Say,
I'm like,
our friend.
But I thought you guys just didn't know who I was.
This guy.
Or think you were funny.
Yeah, exactly. Notice,
like,
Sam.
He will say, but we're still kind of making our own judgment.
Jury's out on that one.
Well, that was going to be my next question. How's Sam going on the show?
How are you going?
I'm not asking
you.
Oh, no. I mean, no, good. No, I like coming in.
Yeah, no, I want to talk about this now because we think you're doing fine.
No, I think I'm doing fine as well. I just think there was like, then there was like some miscommunication when I first came in, not with you guys, with like other management people about what my segment was going to be.
Mm.
But now I'm like just, I think now I'm getting to a spot where I like it, where I do no preparation at all. That's where I want to get to ultimately. Because originally I had this big thing I wanted to do, which was like I did lots of stuff and there were jokes and then that quickly didn't happen.
Mm.
Yeah. So now, for the better, I think. Because now I can get to a point where it's just like, I'm just seeing you guys.
So essentially what's happened here is like you guys are, you know, colleagues to some degree. You work together like relatively often and asked about kind of what your goals are, I suppose, in the working relationship that you have. Getting down to doing the minimum amount of preparation is your main focus.
Yeah, but I also got an email from someone saying you should prepare less.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm not just saying that's what
okay,
I want to
do. Okay, totally. Yeah, yeah. Mm. It's actually like a good approach.
I think so, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, maybe.
Less funny then.
Yeah, look, I shouldn't have answered earnestly, probably, in hindsight.
That's your problem. You've been too earnest here today.
Oh, okay. We can delete all of that. Yeah, that's all fine.
And how about you guys, from your perspective? You loving it?
Yeah, I think it's good. I do think it's right. Like, I think casual radio is generally the best radio, but, like, it's a tough one. And even outside of Sam's segment, like, even when you're interviewing someone, you want it to make it sound like you're not interviewing them.
Totally.
Yeah. You're catching up for a chat.
Yeah.
Best
How's
friend.
It going?
The catchphrase is like, would you hear it at a house party? Is it a conversation you'd hear at a house party?
Is that true?
It's really true. Like, you're not meant to sound like you're interviewing anyone ever.
Mm. Totally.
But it's really hard when the person you're interviewing is really interviewee.
Yeah, totally.
And
you're trying to be like, so what do you reckon?
The subject of an interview.
Yeah, exactly.
Just been told by someone to do an interview.
Yeah, so you try and make it casual. It's meant to sound like people are just listening to their friends talking or whatever, but it can be hard sometimes.
Do you have techniques? Because we were speaking to Merrick. And
he's a professional broadcaster.
His famous. Do you want to say what his famous advice to you was? I suppose.
Oh, about any interview. Well, no, his was more like TV segments.
Yeah, but I think it's applicable in order in like into making things more casual.
Was create the chaos, as in you have to manufacture the chaos yourself.
Well, Erica creates the chaos, and I try to keep a radio show going.
Oh,
I think that's the dynamic.
That's the dynamic.
Can you give me an example of you creating the chaos? Now I sound like Merrick.
I don't know. Erica will just say things like, I just farted, don't tell Dave, right before our newsreader walks into the room.
And that's so funny.
Well, right there it is. The show one time I tried to get my ABC pass out of my bag and I put my hand in my bag and I cut myself on something and I realized I had just like a raw open razor in my bag.
Always good to just tuck it in loose.
And then I came into the studio like bleeding because there was just a razor in my bag. I don't know how it got there. It just got there.
Like just like the tiny little.
No, not the, it was a shaving razor.
Shaving razor.
Yeah, it was a shaving razor.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, more sense, but still why? Just open and in there and ready to go.
And you pulled your hand out to the security guard just covered in blood.
Please,
let me
work
in. I've got to do a show.
I'm a frontline worker. I deserve a gun.
Did they stop playing your music on the station when you took over the main job?
No, we're not allowed to play it on our show, which is fair, and I'd feel really awkward playing on our show anyway.
Get ready for this hot new tune.
Yeah, it got played this morning. Like, we still have stuff that gets played here and there. It's just not going to be played on Bracky.
Yeah.
And we'll see, I guess, when you put a song out. I think it gets held to a high standard because they don't want to look nepotistic.
Sure.
And also, if you work at the station, people expect you to be better than all of the musicians you play.
Totally.
At music. So it's like we're not as practiced as some people at music, so we're not as good at it.
I mean, now you've got another job as well.
Yeah, it's like you're busy now, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we don't play. We don't play.
You're
our
not
songs.
Happy with that
it's
excuse.
Weird. It's like because you wouldn't have worked at the station and you were getting played, but I'm sure you were always like, we could get played a bit more. You know, like maybe plays. And now you know the people that make the decisions.
That is awkward.
So like, you know that they're maybe like they might love you, or some might love you, and then some might not think you're as good as them. You know what I mean?
It means that if your song doesn't get added to rotation, which has happened to us plenty of times, they have heard the song, they know who wrote it.
You know all the process.
They're very aware of it. It's not like
I got them a coffee last Thursday.
It's not like it just slipped them by. Like they have listened to it and they have decided they don't like it.
Yeah. Mm.
And you know that. And it's definitely not personal, but it still feels personal.
And then you go back with more knowledge on everything that's happened in the past. And you're like, that's always been the case. Every time you've been turned down.
Yeah. Mm. I'm turning down lots of comedians at the moment. I'm running a show on Thursday nights now because there's no comedy gigs. And like, it's just supposed to be a show with me and my friend. Tom's going to do it as well. But like, all these comedians are just messaging me trying to get gigs out of me now. And I can't reply to them. I've told a few
You're
people.
You're a gatekeeper. No.
Yeah, it's too much pressure. It's
I
awful.
Put it to you that you enjoy the power.
I loved it. I loved it hypothetically. The first day Cambo and I were like, let's put on a show.
Mm.
And then I was like pretending to ban you and I was banning Jared.
Sure,
and all
okay.
Friends. I was banning, but now it's like, it's awful.
So
I can't
who are you letting
it.
In? What's your process?
Thank you.
I'm interviewing you now.
I don't know. Yeah, people that I think are funny that aren't annoying. That's pretty it at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. They're the key ones. No, no bad people.
I think it is difficult to be a tastemaker, gatekeeper person because there is a lot of resentment.
Yeah.
Like in your direction, but someone's got to like do it. Make
there's
the
a
calls.
Lot of considerations other than, I mean, I'm not going to speak specifically to your situation, but there's other considerations, whether it's good or not, you know, like sometimes you got to support people who will be good.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Just
to represent
certain areas of like a community, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
No, that is all part of it. Definitely. Mm. That's completely part of it. But as well, you have to be the one that.
But you also have to discourage the people that need to be discouraged.
That's true.
But how do you discourage them? That's the issue.
Not booking people, I think.
But I always want to be liked. This is the issue I have.
Yeah.
So if I was in charge of Triple J Music, I'd probably play.
Just be just like everyone. Nine everyone. Different frequencies.
No one would get played more than once.
Welcome to the Sam's a nice to everyone bloke guy in the morning where we play every song somehow.
I mean, yeah, it would be okay. Isn't that what Triple J Unearthed is? They just play every song?
No, this is like
no, they
process.
Pick it meticulously.
Okay, right, yeah, sure, okay.
Wow.
To prepare.
That's brutal.
No, but I thought you could go there and they will just, it's just randomly picking songs.
No, they have rotation as well. So all the songs that are played on the radio, Triple J Unearthed Radio, they're all curated as well and it gets like added to rotation.
Sure.
Oh, you should go on the website. There's
but anyone can put it on the website.
They're not all that good.
Yeah.
And finding bad songs on Unearthed is really a joy, to be honest. Like, it's a lot of fun. Because everyone uses the platform, even if they're not Triple J's target audience. So, like, 65-year-old John and the Chooks will upload their latest, you know, funny song about baseball.
And there's a certain kind of bad that's actually good.
That's what I mean.
Totally.
Would you guys be able to do, like, your own Unearthed pick in your show and kind of ironically make fun of a terrible song?
Well, this is what we've considered before because there are a few bands you're like, well, the world needs to hear this.
Yeah.
It's so bad that it is good and people would it would genuinely bring people joy. But then you think it's like an aspiring musician who's taking this very seriously.
Yeah.
And can we actually go onto national breakfast radio and be like,
you suck.
Exactly.
People are texting, and this is the worst thing my ears have ever experienced.
Yeah,
so. I suppose, yeah, you just got to like maybe call them and see if they've got it, like how they feel about it.
Hey, do you realize that you suck?
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
How would you rate how ironically hilarious this song would be on a scale of 1 to 10? Do you think that applies to you? Yes or no? You could probably glean it by giving them a ring.
Yeah, and I think if we were different people, we wouldn't worry so much about hurting people's feelings. But I do feel a responsibility to not rip on aspiring musicians.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know, and I think that just means you're good, normal people.
Good.
It'd be crazy if you actually did enjoy that, though.
Yeah.
Crushing people's dreams and hurting their feelings.
Yeah, that would be crazy. It is fun saying.
It would also be crazy to admit it.
Yeah,
one of my favourite hobbies, actually, identifying someone's dreams and then making it not a reality in front of their very eyes in a public forum.
It is fun being honest about international artists, though, because I feel like we have more space to say if we don't like them.
Yes.
If they're international, because they're probably not going to listen. Like
maybe that could be like an exchange program. So you get like New Zealand's version of Unearthed, and you just shit on those people because they kind of listen to.
That's a fun idea.
And then they can do the Australian one. That would be a bit unfair because we've got a bigger population. Probably some funnier stuff happening.
But they've got a lot better stuff happening.
New Zealand,
you reckon?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, music-wise,
really? Yeah.
But we don't want good. We want.
Bad.
Oh, we want shit. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that is a problem.
But if they would still have encouragement, the more bad music. Yeah, for sure.
I think the more that like just if you have more good stuff, you're gonna have more bad stuff as well. Just because like not everyone can stay at a high level.
I think there's more good stuff in New Zealand. We have more bad stuff than they have bad stuff. Per capita.
Do we have more? What?
Australians per capita are worse musicians.
That's with Erica.
Nah, that's...
Why are New Zealand better?
I don't even know what per capita really means, but did I use it?
It means for every capita, there's a guy
what
singing.
What is a capita?
Is that per capita? And I might be wrong here.
Everyone pretends they know what it means.
I reckon most people know. Well, this is what I... And you probably know what it means, Tom.
Yeah.
Do you know what it means?
I think you all do.
I think I do, but now I'm like, is there some hidden meaning?
No.
Is it like per, if you take, if you even out the populations, is this correct? This is sounding pretty good.
Yeah.
And then you compare that amount of, like you create a unit. Is this right?
This is the correct answer expressed extremely poorly.
Isn't it just per person?
No, want to hear about
it's definitely not per
creating
person,
units,
think.
Sally. Let Sam
I
finish.
I think units, so if you have one, so if New Zealand might be, there might be eight people to every one person in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then that's the level you compare. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah. It's just as a...
It's units.
It's like a statistic as a proportion based on population size.
It totally is like per person.
It's not per person.
If you've got one sheep per capita, you got one sheep per person.
Per capita. Yeah. Oh, per capita you think means per... Ooh.
I don't think so.
I think you would just say per person.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between a capita and a person?
It's a unit. It's a unit.
I think per
capita... It's a unit and one unit equals one person.
Well, if it's one for one.
Yeah.
You thought a capita was just another word for person.
I think per capita is a phrase and we usually use the word per to mean per something, but I don't think it's being used in that case. I think the two words per capita is like a phrase which means like as a proportion of population.
Yeah.
That's my theory, but it wouldn't...
Each population is one person.
You could break it down and compare how many people.
But if you're comparing two populations and they have different amount of people living in...
Well, then you count the people.
Yeah, you have to count the number of people and there's one people per people.
Totally.
How long can we spend talking about this before someone Googles it?
You're looking at me. I'm the only one with a computer in front of me. Okay, this is going to be...
I still think the unit... There will be something about units in there, I think.
Oh, I think that could be right. But for each person.
No, I don't. Read deeper.
Wait, yeah. What does that mean?
No, obviously it's... We're right as well that it's like... That's how you measure a proportion, but it means for each person in relation to people taken individually.
Sally, I'm so sorry.
Had fewer banks per capita.
You all laughed at me.
Wait, but so it doesn't mean... Capita doesn't mean person, and it's like per capita. And I think that's where the humour element came out.
But, and maybe it does mean like a people over a certain age or something. I don't know.
No, I don't think capita is age.
Don't double down. You were right.
Maybe
what
you
are
can...
you doing? You run the 100 and now you're running back.
I've got to let you all catch up, you know?
You're kicking over hurdles that you jumped over the first time. It's the Latin for by heads.
What?
Per head.
Yeah,
per
so
head.
Kind of.
Per, oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just per person.
Not bad. Yeah. Pretty much.
I'm still skeptical.
But my original question was, why is New Zealand better at music?
Wow, congratulations remembering
what
we were speaking
professional
about.
Professional broadcaster, create the chaos, etc.
Yeah. Wow,
in this case, the chaos was an argument over the definition of the Latin per capita.
The most chaotic thing. To your question.
Yes, thank you.
Why does New Zealand be better?
Yeah, be better.
Yes. The answer? Don't know. It's just the way it is.
What?
What about funding?
Funding.
Could be funding. Smaller places, often better things.
Stronger sense of self.
Yeah. Yes. You don't get lost in the all of it, you know.
Friendlier.
Mm.
Now I'm just naming traits of New Zealand.
It just seems more...
Answering your own question?
Part of culture, perhaps. Like it doesn't feel like music in Australia is hugely part of culture when you're growing up. Well, it didn't for me anyway.
Right. Could that be a Canberra thing?
Could be a Canberra thing.
No, you come from an extremely musical family, though. Do you know he was a child prodigy guitarist?
We've played Sam Taunton on the radio.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God.
They played Sam and the Bush Chooks.
He described some wedding he went to where everyone sang a song.
It was Sam and the Bush Brigade.
Oh.
The Bush Chooks is better. Bush Chooks is what they call, what's that, Perth beer?
This is one of those things where someone's like close to something, so they're like, it's not this name. That's ridiculous. It's this equivalently
Bush
stupid
Chooks is
name.
So much better. Bush Chooks is like, I could get that going as a punk band now. Sam and the Bush Chooks.
Yeah.
Could ya?
If I knew punk musicians.
No, I suppose, yeah, you'd need like practically in order to
and had an
together.
Aspiration to play punk music.
For sure. You'd need quite a few. Yep. Absolutely.
A few things.
And that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you come from a musical family, so I feel like you music was part of your life growing up.
Maybe that's why. Yeah, maybe that's
but
why.
But I think per capita
okay.
Compared to New Zealand,
yeah,
not as good.
Look, I can't justify it. Honestly, I'm just bullshitting, and I have no idea. I just get the impression that music is better in New Zealand.
I believe
I mean,
that's
pretty good. Like that's good enough, really. Yeah. It's all subjective.
No, great music in Australia. Don't get me wrong, but there's some wonderful musicians in New Zealand.
Absolutely.
I think my contact lens has gone behind my eyeball.
Uh-oh.
Oh my God.
Should we?
No. Or? I'm a professional.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
Well, I don't want to watch that. I might turn around.
What?
No, it's just hanging out there. It's
do you need
fine.
To fix it?
No, it'll be okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted everyone
to know
painful. That I was struggling.
I feel like you should do something about it, actually.
No, because I'm going to take it out and then it'll be out and then it'll be blurry on one side of my face.
But isn't it better that it's not in the back of your eyeball?
I don't think it's in the back. I think it's under my eyelid.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Mm. I mean, definitely better than the back. That to me was great. I don't have contacts.
No, that's happened before. So not to me, but I've read about it.
Yeah, totally. That's so great.
Yeah.
So it's possible. That
it is possible. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. It's possible it can do a full loop and then come back
that's,
around.
That's extremely gross imagery.
Yep. But anyway, let's do this quiz.
You want to do the quiz?
Oh, there's all right. A quiz?
Well, so yeah, there's a bit of a – okay, so I mean I had one other question that I prepared, which is just a joke, but I wanted to read it. In hip-hop, the hardest word to rhyme with is orange, famously. How do you feel now in 2020 when the President of the United States is bloody orange? Yep, that's...
can you please answer the question?
Eminem rhymes with orange a lot. Syringe is one of the
things. That's always something
syringes.
That I've been...
He does all the time.
No, okay. Really good joke, though.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Really good stuff.
I mean, next time, just a bit of advice when you react positively to a joke, laughter, often a great thing.
And laughter is also an involuntary response.
Yeah.
You can't really force it.
Oh, exactly. That's where I reckon, laughter speaks louder than words, Sam. So basically the game here, I've got a bunch of Google reviews because you guys are from Canberra and I'm going to read them out maybe one by one, I think. And you have to guess whether it's a Google review for Questacon or the Anzac War Memorial.
This is a great game.
Dear.
Oh, it no, you good. Don't like it?
Have you been, you guys would have spent a bit of time at both growing up, no doubt.
Sam, my mum used to work at Questacon, actually.
Oh, my God.
So I had the hookup, the science museum. As you can see, I know a lot about science.
Of course. Yeah.
The terminology.
Would you just go and hang out? Because it was a big thing for my school. It was like the yearly school trip and everyone was so excited.
Yearly? Oh, you were closer.
Yeah, we were in like 2 hours.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's more doable.
Yeah, I went there a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Did you go on the guillotine?
Is that the spinny one?
No, it's a guillotine.
You put your head in and they chop it off? Is that the one?
That's the one.
That's the dumbest thing
about the spinny one.
Is that the spinny one? The guillotine. That's the one where it...
No, but it wouldn't actually chop your head.
Nah, but do you remember it?
It was a simulator.
Of your head getting chopped off.
Yeah, it would push air down. So a blade would fall and obviously there was like a piece of wood stopping it from actually cutting your head off.
There was a mirror so you could see the blade falling and you couldn't see the block of wood. So to you it looked like it was about to hit your neck.
And it also had a rush of air that made it feel like it was coming down.
Is it still there?
I think they realised it's a bit messed up.
I remember lining up for it. I only went there once in year six and legitimately didn't have the guts, like terrified.
Yeah,
everyone,
scary.
My friends did it. Yeah, it was so scary. Yeah. Like, did you do it?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Loved the guillotine. My favourite.
Yeah.
At Questacon.
Big spinning fan.
Yeah.
No, what am I thinking? I'm thinking of the thing at Luna Park where like you get stuck to the wall.
Oh, yes. The, ooh.
Gravitron, I think it's called.
But they had something similar at Questacon.
There was a free fall.
Might be that. I'm thinking of. Yeah.
There was also the race Kathy Freeman thing. It had her like speed against the wall.
Oh, and that bloke.
But they had to take it down because the guy ran into a wall and like really badly hurt himself and then tried to sue Questacon. I don't know if they actually sued, but
I did. That's so funny. I read a few articles about that at the time, and I'm kind of a bit with him in that it was quite dark, and like if you start running quite fast, there wasn't like enough space after that to kind of slow down because he just like ran as fast as he could and then like immediately hit the wall. But it's also so just like funny. The most arrogant thing in the world. Yeah. Like he thought he could.
It's like she won the gold. It's like just
she's
chill.
Famously very good.
Let her have this one. Yeah.
He's like, nah. But then there were a few photos of him as well. He's like, he's no Adonis. Like
there
it wasn't
should be
like
one now where you try to beat him without running into the wall.
Totally.
Like his journey and then where he hits the wall. You have to stop before you
and
hit the
wall. Film Kathy doing it easily. It's not bad. I remember seeing, because I read a bunch of Questacon reviews, quite a few people were complaining about how the staff now kick the kids off the free fall if they're too nervous.
So push them off it.
No, as in like won't let them go. Oh. I think if they like are too shaky.
Yeah, fucking do it.
Yeah. Punt them.
It's gotten intense. Yeah. And all the other rides are guillotines.
Well, people do hang there forever. Totally. They just hang for like minutes on end until their hands get too sweaty.
The bar used to be so sweaty. Tell. It was always wet.
Oh my God.
The sweat of children.
Well, I was also thinking about it for like Corona purposes, when is it going to come back? And I reckon that there's not a more super spreader place in the world than Questacon.
Yeah.
Kids going around and licking and touching stuff.
But they do have thermal cameras as part of some of their little displays.
Oh my God.
So there you go. It's
okay.
Two for one.
Yeah, they're
spread
kind of like
it, test it.
They're ready.
Yeah. Spread it, test it.
Exactly. All right. So maybe we should go.
Am I playing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you didn't. You don't know. And then maybe first. Maybe
well.
First to five.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Is that right? Because I've got quite
is that
a few.
15 Google reviews.
I got a lot.
I don't feel like we've been explained any rules already.
Okay, so I'm going to say a review, and then to each person individually.
Yeah.
I think is maybe a good way to
Questacon,
and you have
War
to
Memorial.
Say Questacon or War Memorial. So Sam first. Boring, not for everyone.
War Memorial.
No, Questacon.
Oh, I thought it was a trick.
So Sally, never been, but if I live through this virus, I'm coming down for a look, see? Stay safe, mates. I hope you're making it through this virus better than we are in the States.
Well, that's got to be the War Memorial?
Questacon. Okay.
No. Is it world famous?
They're all Questacon.
Is Questacon world famous? Is it internationally
to
renowned?
That guy? I don't know. Yeah, there was quite a lot of reverence from Americans for the War Memorial on there.
Looking at the comments.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty across. It's fun when you do something like this. Now I'm just like an expert on how people feel about and what people's different gripes are. None of those are in there because they're quite specific.
I was reading Google reviews today for the world's deepest hole.
Is it in Kalgoorlie?
No, it's in Russia. I can't tell you how deep it is because I'm surprising Erica tomorrow. But
I can't wait for this surprise. But
what would the craziest number be? The world's deepest hole.
The world's deepest borehole. And it's got Google reviews. It's got hundreds of Google reviews.
Oh, it's a borehole.
Borehole.
Yeah.
A hole that was bored.
Yeah.
And some of the Google reviews just say, very nice. One star. And I just love the energy of someone who goes to the world's deepest hole and says it's very nice.
I just love the energy of anyone who reviews any place.
Totally. Really.
Yeah, it is good.
Like reviewing just a park. Like, that is really funny to me.
It's like, what are you deciding not to review if the park makes it in? Do you know what I mean? Like, what day-to-day things are you doing that you're not being
exactly.
Like?
What are your standards? Or why do you look at a place and go, this could use a review?
It also speaks to the fact that they think their subjective experience is, like, objective. Mm. If they're like, the park, very nice. It's like, well, you probably had a good day. You know what I mean? Like, you're, totally. You're bringing your own energy into all of this.
I don't know
particularly
how
if they're pissed off.
A hole could only be one star if it wasn't a hole. That's the only way it couldn't be five stars, right?
Yeah, well, they want it to be deeper.
I don't know.
It's the deepest hole in the world.
There was no criticism. That's what baffled me. It said, very nice. One star.
Maybe it's too deep.
And
them.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, that's the stuff you got to get out of your head.
What did they want?
Yeah, what did they want?
I reckon, yeah, but then people blame the experience around the whole, you know what I mean? Like if someone was rude to them on the way there, they bring that energy in. Often a bad review of a cafe, you click,
there's other bad reviews of other restaurants. This person isn't happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take that into account.
Big on the energy. Lighting is important as well. Yeah.
With the hole?
With the hole. With it anyway. Cafes. Yeah. No, the hole. Yeah.
Mostly the hole. Well, yeah.
Simply won't be able to perceive how deep it is if there isn't some sort of lighting system.
That's true. I hate an ill-lit hole. To be honest, it's terrible.
I never knew that about you.
It's good to know now.
All right, Erica. Minimal variety.
That's got to be the War Memorial.
Quest of God.
You're stitched us up.
Yeah, this is.
No. There's more. There's no.
Did you? I've got a terrible feeling. You've just printed out
all, they're all Quest of God. No,
all Quest of God. I just didn't mix them. War Memorial.
But no. I mixed them a bit.
How is there minimal variety at Quest of God? Like, you can go get your head chopped off. And then you can go learn about earthquakes.
Sounds like someone's got a family member working there.
Sounds like someone's offensive. Got a beef with Nicholas Newsom.
I got shares.
From a year ago. Okay, back to Sam. Not worthy of one star even. Not worth $23 for an adult. More like free entry maybe if you want a star. Kept getting zapped for no apparent reason. Bring back the earthquake house. Not good, fix the place. Yeah, shocking.
Getting zapped.
That sounds like it's on you, brother.
Stop touching things. Exactly. Obviously, that will be Questacon.
That's Questacon. That's one for Sam. Oh, fantastic.
Bring back the earthquake house.
Yeah, it was crazy. I'm sure they took that down because someone ran into the wall as well in the earthquake house.
Yeah, no H&S.
Yeah, some of them were just straight up dangerous. Sally, too good. Great displays with real huge stuff. Found family members that died, and if you give them your name, can get a printout. And great food, salad, totally fresh.
I really hope it's a War Memorial.
Questacon.
Found some family members in the guillotine.
I found my real dad.
Okay. Sorry, I just frankly have too many that are printed out here. Erica, the most fascinating museum I've ever been to, having spent 2 days there and still haven't seen everything. Staff are very helpful. The amount of effort and the degree of sophistication is outstanding. The only down point is their sausage rolls are not very nice.
Having spent 2 days at either the War Memorial or Questacon, problematic. I'm going to say that's Questacon.
No.
What?
Anzac.
Well, we know they have fresh salads, so it's no surprise, really, that they're sausage rolls.
But they have sausage rolls at the War Memorial.
They must, but they're not very good.
Isn't it a bit disrespectful
to have a sausage? I was just thinking that as well. You kind of, it should just be like sandwiches or like rations, whatever. Like,
oh my god, Sam.
I reckon. Did you get rations?
Rations. Like, you get a small ration when you get in there, and that's all you get—bread and water.
They just don't think about it. I mean, the most fucked one is that they sell like burgers and stuff at the zoo. Like, they sell some half the animals that are in the.
Yeah. And I mean,
unless they fix that, I reckon. Yeah, there's no. It's probably just different companies or something.
Mm.
When your school's selling skipping ropes and stuff, like people just aren't across.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't eat at the War Memorial though. Too disrespectful.
Wouldn't feel hungry, probably.
Exactly. Yeah. The trauma of past generations, what they did for
the War Memorial's hectic. Have you been to the War Memorial?
I have. Yeah, I remember. It's one of the first times I ever put money in a well.
Oh. Cool.
Well, not a well, you know, you just flick a bit of money in that thing.
Yeah.
You categorize experiences very strangely in your brain.
That
was my famous
day.
First well experience.
File that under places where I put money in well, in a chronological order.
Exactly, yeah. And that's number one. Okay. Sam,
yep.
The staff, volunteers here are fantastic, friendly and engaging. We were approached on a few occasions with offers of assistance and explanation. It was really great to see the enthusiasm and level of engagement with visitors. And I'll leave it there.
Is there more?
Yeah, but it's boring.
Oh, okay. God, the start was boring too. Questacon?
No, Anzac.
Can we play first of three?
No. How many more have you got there?
I've got quite
We're
a
not
few.
Going through all of them.
We want the data on who's the best at it as well. Like, if you only have first of three, then it's like not really a measurable.
I thought you were doing a joke, like it was building to a joke because they were getting progressively funnier.
No.
And I was like, whatever Tom's been working on here, I like.
No.
And now I found out that was pure luck.
Well, I mean, it's not luck because some of them are funny, but some of them aren't.
That's the definition of of luck.
No, but I'm responsible for all of them. Oh, okay. So it's like, you know, I've curated them to some degree. So I'm in some ways responsible for the funny ones as well. Like, come on.
Desperate to claim a laugh.
for goodness. No, but it's like some of the, of you know, the positive feelings you had were like,
that was great.
Well placed.
No, Tom, this is a great game. I'm really enjoying it.
Don't worry.
There we go. That's what I want. Okay. Sally. Nice place, lots to look at, kids enjoyed, I got sore feet. Free entry and parking, so worth a look when in Canberra.
War Memorial.
Yes.
Free entry.
Free entry. See, that is, that's a key thing. The other one costs $23.
Wait, it's only got two so far.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's first, free unless you put money first in, the, to seven. In the well.
Because I know that.
That well is where you lose a few dollars.
Erica. Toaster was not working.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Questacon.
Nah.
No.
No. That was the subway at the War Memorial.
Yeah.
Oh, you're joking.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's good. Okay, Sam. Great idea for an institution. Unfortunately, now mostly sponsored by weapons manufacturers.
Questacon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've answered Questacon for everyone. So
wait, was it?
Yeah.
Was it?
That was actually Questacon. Wow. And now I'm not sure what happened there. I'd imagine that that was a mistake, that the person who did that on Questacon meant the Anzac Memorial.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm not sure Questacon is sponsored by weapons manufacturers, but maybe it is.
You never maybe know. Everything in Canberra is.
Yeah,
you know.
It could be. God. All right, Sally. Our kids 5 and 7 got a bit bored 1 to 2 hours in.
War Memorial?
Questacon.
Your kids.
Okay. Erica. We'd give it 5 stars, but the coffee is disgusting. Literally the worst I've had in ages. The people responsible should be ashamed. Also, you can buy coffee in a takeaway cup, but you're not allowed to walk anywhere with it. The mind boggles at the idiocy of people responsible for decision-making here.
That's heavy. That's really heavy.
The mind boggles.
It's a bad cup of coffee.
Yeah, it must be bad. I've answered everyone Questacon, so I'm just going to take a pun and go War Memorial for this one.
Questacon.
No! Why am I getting all the food-related ones?
That one was brutal as well because it was like very direct attack on the staff there.
Absolutely.
I reckon I'm now comfortable with downgrading this game to the first of three.
First of three.
If we want to make it a bit shorter.
Do you want to do a quick score update?
Sam on 2, Erica 0. Yeah. She was zigging and zigging and zigging and then zagged at the wrong time. And Sally also on 2, so it's neck and neck, you could say.
This is so exciting.
It's pretty good. All right, so first, okay, so Sam, this is translated. The visibility.
Wait, is it visitability?
Visitability is not.
Wait.
That can't be a word.
The visitability.
Okay, visitability.
So if it's able to be visited.
Visitability.
Yep.
Is not strong and relatively small.
Wait. So the not visibility.
Visitability.
It's not strong and relatively small.
That's right.
Well, I get Questacon.
No. Anzac.
Oh.
All right. Sally, you can clinch it here.
Oh, dear.
The nerves got me.
Nice enough, but needs a little understanding before going. The souvenir shop had no shirts or jackets on the empty shelves and not enough staff to cater for the crowd.
Easy one.
The War Memorial.
Correct.
You.
Oh, Sally just
and
won.
Sally has successfully won.
Classic.
What Sally. I think we can all agree was a fantastic game.
Mm. Well, yeah.
I did like it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it wasn't too bad. I reckon it could have done with a bit of editing of the reviews. I just printed all of them out and thought I'd do it on the fly.
Yeah. Well,
but thank you for playing.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for playing that game with us.
No, yeah. No worries. I think a strategy that I've utilized there is by showing a bit of weakness, I'm getting some compliments.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that is a strategy we could use.
Yeah.
You got any more weakness you want to show us?
Weakness? Nah. That's all it. Strength over
is
here.
A pillar of strength.
That's it.
What's your weakness, Sam Taunton?
Oh, probably.
Thinking off the top of your head?
Yeah, thinking off the top of your riffing. Time management. I don't know. I try not to think about weaknesses. Mm-hmm. You get too, it becomes too much.
Mm. I've recently been accused of being a weakling by a mutual friend of ours, Jared McGowan, who has tried to, this friend of ours has recently gotten into jiu-jitsu, has been trying to convince
obsessed
me
with jiu-jitsu.
To get into jiu-jitsu because his, basically his accusation is that a situation is going to arise where my girlfriend is, well, I'm going to be with her and there's going to be violence or something.
And I'm going to...
Sounds like he's been given a tip off.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to hide behind my girlfriend and not be able to protect
because
her or something.
You did hide behind your girlfriend.
I didn't hide behind my... Can I take you through this particular situation?
Sure.
And you can tell me whether you think how I acted was appropriate. I'm at her house. I hear a bit of commotion at the front. Mainly just a woman who's kind of making noises of like concern and kind of... wouldn't say screaming, but like, distress. Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of like went to peek out the window to see what was happening before, you know, charging out there or anything. Like, you know, let's get a lay of the land here. Esther, my girlfriend, fucking charges right out, no peeking. So already I'm like behind. And then went out there. This woman is has kind of dropped her motorbike. Her motorbike's kind of falling on her. And it kind of like fallen on the ground, I think. Maybe it would have grazed her on the way down, but she looked fine. But she was like very stressed and trying to pick it up very quickly. Again, I was like, hey, I think we should all... My approach was like, let's chill for a second. Let's calm down. And then we can pick the motorbike up. But girlfriend right in there picking the motorbike up. And then she was like, thank you, and off. And then, yeah, I suppose looking back, I'd just hid at the beginning and then hadn't helped.
So how would knowing jiu-jitsu in this situation actually...
He could have gone to ground with the motorbike.
Let's grapple
exactly,
something.
Exactly. Yeah, I choked out a motorbike on the weekend. What were you up to?
I reckon we should wrap it up.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything else?
I thought we were going to close on that brilliant game.
It was a good game.
Thank you very much. What was your favourite thing about the game?
The whole game was good.
Yeah, totally. So you couldn't even.
Did you have a favorite review?
The toaster stuck with me. The fact that anyone would be like using a toaster at either of those places, just, you know, it's going to stick with me.
Mm. And your favorite part of the podcast episode over the last hour?
Mm.
I mean, there was a lot of good ones.
Do you make all your guests list their favorite thing about you guys both?
Not just you.
No, just you guys.
I like the nostalgia. I like the primary school.
Yeah.
Reminiscing.
Yeah, that was good.
That's not bad.
That is good stuff.
Both good highlights. What about you, Sam?
Maybe we should listen back to the whole thing and then we...
Now?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then we do another podcast, us listening back to the...
Okay, director's commentary.
Yeah, the talking one. Yeah. Talking good stuff.
That sounds like a tough listen.
Yeah.
Four people discussing, four people talking.
Just talking over our own voices. We could do it.
Let's do it now.
Okay, well, run it again.
Okay, so none of the others could join me for the director's commentary, but I thought I'd give it a bit of a go myself. So I'll start playing the audio now of my favourite part of the podcast.
So basically, the game.
So this was
here,
the beginning of the game that was at the end of the podcast, which you might remember. My favourite part of the podcast. This was the beginning, so I was kind of nervous. I didn't have the information I now have that the guests loved the game.
Have you been? You guys would spend a bit of time.
I wasn't sure how the game would go.
Sam, my mum used to work at Quest.
So a bit apprehensive as I started the game, but I was pretty confident that it would go pretty well because I'd put quite a lot of time into reading the reviews and making sure the answers were pretty funny.
Yeah, we were in like 2 hours.
Yeah, totally. That's more doable.
I think the fact that it was about Canberra when our two guests, Sally and Erica, are both from Canberra, I think that really made the game feel nice and feel kind of, you know, customised for them and made them feel included. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons that they said they liked the game. So I'm sure that had something to do with it.
So a blade would fall, and obviously that was like a piece of wood stopping it.
At this point, if you remember, we started talking about the guillotine activity at the Questacon Science Museum, something that I think I mentioned was quite scared of.
I remember lining up for it.
It was a funny quip to make.
And legitimately, you only ask about me when you want me to ask about you. Go and ask about me, 'cause you want me to ask about you.